With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today. Ain't Hard to Tell podcast episode. Brian's been waiting a long time for me to say this. He's so excited. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He's banging the table, and I still haven't even said it. Episode 100!
Yo, let me tell you something. You know how many podcasts get to 100? Because I don't know, but it ain't that many.
Not many.
A lot of people start podcasts, but they don't finish them. I talked about on the last episode how there's podcasts out there at bigger networks. Thank you. Podcasts at bigger networks who get to like 20 episodes and shut it down.
Agreed.
Come on, man.
We are here at 100. And
it just took a little over 2 years.
Congrats.
And we only missed time twice. Like, significant time twice.
Yeah, well, we had like a month off.
Really, if you break it down, like, if you really break it down, you're talking about 100 episodes over the course of 25 months. That's a 4-episode-a-month average. Shout out to us. That's all I want to say.
Are you feeling yourself?
Yeah. other podcasts be feeling themselves.
Yo.
I be seeing people talk about their podcasts all the time.
As they should.
They shouldn't.
Yo, man.
Well, I mean, it's their podcast. Why would they not talk about it?
Because it ain't that. Some of these people podcasts ain't
hey,
know that.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
It ain't about other people. Talk your shit, Playboy.
Yeah.
Y'all doing your thing.
And when Gerard, who's one of our guests here today, our other guests will be joining us soon, when Gerard is talking about his 100th episode with 7 Footers, we'll be bigging that up too.
Listen, we appreciate that.
What episode are you
we're
at
like,
right now?
We're about to be 50 soon.
Halfway there.
Yeah, we grinding out here.
Yeah, so.
It feels weird to be in
the
triple digits.
You'll be at 100 another year or
something. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it feels nice to be in the triple digits.
Well, 100, bro. Like, you understand that we've done 100 of these?
I understand because I said 100 at the top of the
But
episode.
I'm saying, like, 100 plus, like, a lost episode.
You couldn't wait for this moment.
Multiple lost episodes, a bunch of segments. You know what I'm saying?
You couldn't wait for this
We're
moment.
Talking about September of 2017.
It's grinding,
in a
baby.
Boardroom in a college to hear, right?
You're in, grinding, you,
right?
Like grinding.
Come on, son.
Yeah. So we've done it, and our next guest.
All
is
right.
Here.
We literally just started. Now it's a party.
We are calling this the Friendsgiving episode.
Yes.
Got my man Jamal Murphy here along with Gerard.
You literally didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
I'm just talking. I'm just talking.
And Murph is a veteran podcaster.
Yeah, so, man.
Murph, how many podcasts have you guys done at BroSpot?
Over.
So
you
got a veteran in the building.
Yeah, that's
over
right.
100.
But that's what I'm saying. A lot of people don't. Gerard, you said you're almost at 50. A lot of people don't even get to 50.
No doubt.
That's true because
no
it takes a lot of time.
It's commitment. You got to be committed to
it. Absolutely.
But that's the thing about podcasting, right? People think that, I could just start a podcast.
I
tell people when you start, I'm like, listen, it's going to be a lot of work, especially if you really want to make it good.
Exactly.
And set it up for what you want to set it up for, which is ultimately to open up other avenues. Or in the cases of some people, like we talked about, they want it to be their thing. Like, they want to get famous through the podcast and not really set up anything else.
Yeah.
Which, to each their own, but at the same time, it's a lot of work because you're editing, you're mm-hmm. marketing,
yeah,
you're
man.
Doing all this other stuff. Unless you're paying people to do that for you, which a lot of people do.
That.
Yeah, but a lot of people
I'm
do.
I'm balling like that.
When they get to podcast deals, that's what you're
rocking Poly Prep,
so.
I see. I see you. I see you out here with your Poly Prep on.
I'm loyal, baby. I'm
I see
loyal.
You with your Poly Prep on.
Jamal repping the Poly Prep. Southwest Brooklyn.
Free, but yeah. Free gear from when I used to coach.
A Poly Prep alum right here.
But yeah, you know, made it to 100, so.
How you doing? How you doing, Murph? As a veteran podcaster who's been over 100 episodes.
No, it's good. Like you said, it opens up all kind of avenues.
It does.
Now, like before I wasn't editing, now I'm editing. Like I had no idea, you know, what went into that beforehand.
Yeah.
So now I'm like a veteran at that. You know, interviews. I've gotten writing opportunities from the podcast.
Yo, yeah.
So
that's
yeah.
the thing. I don't get on MSG without the podcast.
Cross collaboration too, right?
Real
like
shit.
You have guests on other podcasts who you meet or that you get connected with or whatever. Someone who I used to write my NCAA feature on, Victoria Jackson. I got to her through Bro Spot because I listened to you guys are my boys. So I listened yep. to your pod. I was like, yo, she knows what she's talking about. Let me holler at her for something I might want to do. And I just talked to her as a conversation over a year ago. I was like, look, I don't have anything planned right now, whatever. Sure enough, I'm like, oh, I know I can reach out for this. It's yep. a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it yeah. is. The connections have been great and being able to help your friends give them, you know, bigger platforms to spread or, you know, collaborate through podcasts. That's always been important to me when we started this.
Yes.
So glad that we're still able to do it. We learned so much from other podcasts. Listen to yours. I'm yes. always listening to it. Other people out there, if your friends are doing podcasts, you should support them.
Support your people, man.
Support your people. People need to do that more. Try to put your people on through different platforms. That matters.
Yes.
So, you know, we feel like we did that. We had 100. I'm excited. It's going to be weird when I say 101. No, triple digits.
And we're doing a live show in 2020. I promise yes. you.
We're going to do a live
That's
show.
That's the next step.
Yeah, but nice. Because we did this 100th episode, we wanted to have our friends here for this Friendsgiving episode. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to talk about in the world of sports. A lot has been going on. Some of you guys talked about this on your recent podcast and some certain things that we've talked about. But I want to kick it off with Brian and I got into this conversation the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking
yesterday, in fact.
It was yesterday. Yeah, yeah. Actually, it was random. We just talked on the phone and this kind of came up. We were talking about what players do we really consider superstars that you actually want to go to the arena to see? Now, the reason this came up was because Brian brought up the fact that, and this will tie into something else we'll talk about that Gerard has talked about in his podcast with viewership being down in the NBA in terms of ratings, but attendance. We talked about this specifically with the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets' attendance is, even though they're in the New York market, isn't that great. I believe they are 22nd. Is that correct,
yeah,
Brian?
Yeah, 21st.
21st.
Hundreds of empty
yes.
seats in the lower and upper bowl every game.
Yes.
Every game.
Well, that's the thing, too.
Lower bowls, well, that concerns
but,
me.
But that's what's interesting about Real attendance concerning. Numbers, too, because we looked through the numbers, and the Nets were like 21st in total, 22nd in average, something along those lines. How much of that is also accurate? You know what I mean? Because
well,
there,
I mean,
there
you,
are
you can look
teams.
At that, you can look at that anyway. How many teams might be juking the stats?
But that's what I'm saying. How many teams are doing that? Because the Marlins famously did this when David Sampson was the president. He mm-hmm. since told that on Levitar's show. He's like, oh, yeah, we used to flub the attendance numbers all the time. And we know from working at a certain college that we also
cook
used
the
to
books,
do that
baby.
There as well.
People like, flub the numbers, man.
And I'm not saying just them, but I'm saying like other colleges I went to where, let's say we had a road game and we were at, you know, University X, and they're saying that, oh, there were 1,600 people in the stands. I'm like, really? I could have sworn I saw like 8. You know, like.
So, I mean, but look, the point that came up out of that was what I was saying to Brian was, hey, look, the attendance numbers aren't that great. You think it would be better in a market like Brooklyn. Jamal and I being from Brooklyn, you think that would be the case. There's a lot of things.
Three of us are from Brooklyn here. No sleep.
Who else is from Brooklyn?
Me.
I didn't know that.
East Flatbush, baby.
I didn't know that.
Wait, when did you move?
I was 13.
Yeah.
Okay, that counts.
Oh,
no, that
yeah,
counts.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was gonna say because you know Melo's from Brooklyn, but he's
Listen,
from Baltimore.
That ain't no.
But
yeah,
he was
nah.
eight.
Michael
yeah.
Jordan.
13.
From Brooklyn.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah. I actually went to school in Brooklyn.
Yo, I'm.
Yo, I didn't know. I didn't know you from either. I didn't know you from the same neighborhood. I did not know that
he went to Jersey.
Yeah, then you know, parents are like, we got to get out of here. You got to go to the burbs for a little while.
I should have known, considering you are also Eastern Caribbean brother. So well, I should have known that you were
right?
from East.
I mean, we, you know.
I'm on the border.
We all, that's the thing.
No, you don't count.
We also
border.
Share Caribbean.
I'm right there. I'm on the border.
You don't
I'm
count. A, sorry, man. You Queens.
So, we right there. Barely.
Sorry.
I'm when I say barely, I'm talking about barely.
You like raised in Ridgewood?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Like
he can really like walk two blocks and be in Bushwick.
I can crawl down my block and be in Bushwick like in 2 minutes.
I wouldn't crawl down those streets. Probably not a good idea.
No. I mean, well, today you could probably get away with it. But 10 years ago, no.
That is true. That is true. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/AHTT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. The Nets are low, and I was saying to Brian, well, look, the thing is, the Nets fan base still is
adjusting.
That's yes. A good word.
Excellent. So completely correct.
They got Kyrie and Durant, but obviously Durant's not playing this year. And my point was Kyrie isn't that dude in terms of being good enough to get people to come into the seats. Like, I think there are people who want to see Kyrie, but are they going to really be like, yo, damn, I got to go pay to see Kyrie?
The casual fan.
Yeah. My point is that he's not like a Giannis. He's not LeBron. He's not AD. He's not, I'll even say, a player who's inefficient, Westbrook, who's exciting to some degree. He's not Steph Curry. He's not those guys. So we started going through like, hey, what guys are absolutely, to take a Stephen A term, box office, and what guys are not, right?
Stephen A's had a rough week.
Do those guys really exist? And like, how many? Because to me, it's more about winning draws and like people, like fans love to be a part of that. They love to be winners. Like, name me a box office star who fills the seats but is not on a winning team
in this current NBA.
Yeah,
I think Zion Williamson out of curiosity.
Right, but he hasn't done it yet.
But that's his own sort of special subcategory.
AD was on New Orleans. They were
not drawing well in New Orleans.
Well, now being in LA, obviously.
And you know what I was counting too? I was also counting how that impacts teams when they go on the road too, right? Like, so if the Nets attendance is low and the Lakers come in, we expect that game to sell out.
Yeah,
and the reason that game sells out is, right. I do agree with you, Murph, winning is a part of it, undoubtedly.
But then when Kevin Durant plays, because he is a superstar at that level, there are going to be more people watching those games.
I would think so, because I think there's going to be more people.
But it's also because they'll be better.
Yeah, well, because of him.
If he were by himself, you know, with a bunch of nobodies, and they were like less than 500 or 500,
so I think the guy, so to Murph's point, I think the guy that puts, because you just said somebody by themselves with a bunch of
LeBron,
nobodies,
Cleveland.
Right? LeBron and Cleveland, but they were winning. That goes to Murph's point, right?
Yeah, they were winning. Getting,
but can you really have one without the other, though? I guess because if you're...
No, that's kind of my
AD?
Point.
Right, because if you're that big of a star, you would be winning some, right?
So it's sort of multifaceted.
You can be
right?
a top five player and not win. I mean, AD is a great example of that.
LeBron's but they won't put you there though.
We're looking at a couple different things, right? So we have there's levels to everything, right? There are your super duper mega stars, right? And it's 3, 4, 5 at a max.
So
that's it.
Name them:
LeBron, KD when he's healthy, Steph Curry,
Kawhi.
But that the casual fan, like us, we love hoops.
We're taking us out.
We got to take our mindset out of it.
I think Kawhi's at the point
he
now.
He might
where...
now because of the now that the next
I think
because
he won a championship
in Toronto.
Yeah. Yes.
But again, he played in two markets that are kind of like, because again, market, that's the other thing, market size matters, right?
Yeah.
Again, AD is that good of a player, but New Orleans, because of football and LSU and all this other stuff, ain't nobody really checking for them in the Smoothie King
Center. But if he's that big a star, we're trying to, like, is it star driven? Like, I mean, I think if you put LeBron in New Orleans, they're selling out.
Yes.
In his prime.
And you could put him anywhere.
He's also.
You could put him in Montana, honestly.
He might be the greatest player of all time, right?
Right.
So it's like, there's only one or two of those.
Well, I think Kevin Durant healthy, you probably put him anywhere.
Durant, right. Steph Curry, because of what he's done
Steph Curry
to the
too.
Game and the revolutionization
no, Steph,
of the game.
Steph Curry is there because they love him in Middle America.
Well,
they
listen,
love him.
No, he's also a really great shooter.
No, but,
and does
no, but that too, but I'm also saying that.
Oh, he's definitely fan
everybody
friendly.
Like
he's fan friendly.
He's universally like he's probably still the most liked superstar out of everybody.
100%.
I don't disagree.
100% agree with that.
And he became more likable when Kevin Durant got there
100%.
Because it's like, oh, we gotta, you know.
100%.
So
100%. And then you have your next tier of guys, right? Who are also and I think Giannis because Milwaukee's numbers are good, right? In terms
people
of
people are coming to see
in terms
Giannis.
Of the sellout and home in a row.
And he don't play. He doesn't play with anybody. That's what's kind of going to Murph's point. He doesn't really play with anybody else. That's
but,
exciting.
But they win too.
No,
I agree.
Chris
no. That's what I thought that point.
You have
sense.
To also win with it. So I agree with you there.
Yeah,
Kyrie ain't in that class of guys.
Agreed.
He's just not.
Agreed.
And some people would disagree with that.
Is Trey Young bringing people to Atlanta? I don't know what the numbers are.
See, Atlanta's a very tough sports market. Atlanta, because it's so fickle.
Atlanta has the third lowest attendance so far.
So, no, he's not.
And to your point, they're not winning.
Right. But the other thing is, do you think that he can? And if he can, is that predicated on them winning? Right? Like, so if Trae Young is still putting up the numbers that he is, because he's clearly an exciting young player, right? All of us would agree with that.
Right.
He's not on the, to go for the casual fan, he's not on the tip of the tongue for the casual fan in the national view, right? But if he starts playing better, as him and Doncic, who I also think is, I think Doncic is nearing
I'm
that.
I'm curious, what are the Dallas numbers?
And where were they?
What do you want? Do you want average?
Under Nowitzki.
You want average or percentage? What matters more here, average or percentage?
Percentage, I think.
Dallas is first in the NBA.
Wow.
Yes. And in average fans per game, they're fourth.
And Dallas itself, not just pro sports, Dallas is a football city,
right?
Cowboys, Plano, East and West,
state.
All
but,
right.
But what was Dallas?
But they did win a championship in 2011.
They have a championship.
That carries
pedigree.
Over for
like,
a
have
while.
They, have they always had good attendance? I wonder.
All right, let me go back to before Luka.
Yeah.
Not in the 90s.
Because they weren't good last year.
Well, it was Derek Harper.
Yeah, Derek Harper years, no.
Yeah, go back 2 years ago. So the year before Luka came.
They were still, they still
have
the highest.
But that might have something to do with what you're saying about championship winning and their owner consistently competing. Nowitzki, that's another thing they had. Let's not forget that.
That's true. They got
A legendary star, the best player in their franchise on his decline.
Yeah.
People still want to go see him for the last time. That's going to put people in the seats.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing that puts people in the seats. Surprisingly declining stars.
The Kobe farewell tall. Jesus Christ. We can talk about that.
I saw
Melo bringing fans to Portland. Even though Portland probably does well.
Portland's third in the tennis.
Portland always fills that place.
There ain't not much to do in Portland. Right. Some of that helps too.
So back to the superstar conversation. I brought up Damian Lillard, which is an interesting sort of special case. And this is probably a different conversation if you have it right after the playoffs, which is what I was telling Dexter, because those moments matter. Mm-hmm. And he probably crossed over into the quote-unquote mainstream with that one shot that he had against Oklahoma City in that series, waving bye-bye.
I think so.
Because he had an iconic moment. Yes, I think that matters,
I think
too.
So. I think that sort of puts him at that tier where people will come to see him. Now, Portland not winning right now
That's hurting that. Yeah,
that hurts.
That brings the Murph's factor.
But that goes
that,
to
right?
your factor. Yeah. But if they start winning again,
that's
a dude that they're probably coming to see. Slash Carmelo Anthony, too. Because Carmelo Anthony's probably second on that list of people you really want to see. Because that's no shade to CJ McCollum. But this is Melo's last chance. Right. And Melo's still Melo, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Name-wise, yeah.
He's like to someone of my generation, he's one of the 5 or 10 best scorers I've ever seen. You know, that I grew up watching. So
but it really, really goes, and I think you brought this point up, who you come to see away, like an away team.
Yeah, that matters to me a lot.
Who brings you out as far as that goes?
Yep.
And I don't know if Lillard is I don't know if Lillard's in town. I'm coming to see Dame Lillard.
I think now that they're 5-whatever, then that makes it a little difficult.
I think he was always teetering. Like if you're the diehard NBA fan or casual NBA fan, you knew Lillard was good, but he was teetering. I thought Brian made this great point. I do think that shot,
the bye-bye moment helped push him up a little bit.
Those moments matter in the social media.
Let's at least say that he's at that point where you'll be like, I'll think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like he's kind of in that I'll think about it.
It won't be too expensive either because it's not the Lakers.
Right.
And is he more of a draw than Kyrie even?
I think so.
Kyrie's such a
Kyrie's a champion, but I'm saying today I think Damian Lillard is. Now, if you have discussion right after
That's
Kyrie
a
wins
question.
A championship, then no.
Kyrie has an iconic moment too with a short shot.
Does
but
he?
But Woo! Here's
he's
the thing.
More entertaining.
But we have recency bias
with the handle and the oohs and eyes.
Damian Lillard had the most recent moment, and I think that's what I'm basing it off of is just recency bias.
That's a good point Kyrie though. He's Uncle Drew. Everyone knows Uncle Drew.
Yeah,
and still he ain't drawing.
But here's the thing. He also gets hurt a lot. Now
he's even playing. No, was the last time he played a game?
Out 4 games. And he's missing an S3.
I'm just playing.
They're calling it a shoulder impingement or whatever.
He will miss the return in Boston. It looks like Kevin was probably going to miss that game anyway, too.
For all we know with the Nets, it's probably a shoulder tear. Like he might have a torn labrum for all we know.
Because we asked Kenny before, and you know, he's like day to day, nothing new.
But that's what I'm saying, because I remember specifically, and I brought this up, and not to derail this whole thing, but with Trevion Graham, they said he had like a pulled hamstring or whatever.
He was out for like 2 months.
Torn, because it was torn. Yeah. Sham said it was torn. I asked Kenny Atkinson about it. He's like, no, that's false. Da 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 da. 2 months later, oh yeah, Trevion Graham is on this team. They did it with Jeremy Lin too. Yeah. They're like, oh, hamstring day to day. Find out he has a setback.
They get all spursy with their injuries. They get very.
So that's what I'm saying. This Kyrie thing. If we already know he's missing that road trip, then that's a little serious. And it kind of sucks because I wanted to obviously see him return to Boston.
Of course.
Yeah. How many games is that going to be?
Seven total. But I will say this. That's what I'm saying. Not to derail the conversation, but I will say this.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Again, because we were at the game last night. Looking actually kind of good. Only because when you don't have a singular talent.
I'm not going to say anything.
No, hold on. No, because I know where you're going. But
I'm not going nowhere. I'm staying right here.
When you have a singular talent, it's very easy to be like, yo, and just watch him do his thing. They don't have that luxury because there's no Karis either. So they have to do the whole by committee thing. And it just happens to work better when they do that. The whole
by committee thing be working with them.
It just works better for them. Because with Kyrie's, they're just like...
We'll also see because they beat the Kings.
Yes, let's not get crazy. It's like, the Kings, you know, and the Hornets on Wednesday. Yeah, so let's not lose our minds.
So that's two of the lower...
Right.
That might be two of the five worst teams right now.
Defensively, they also look better, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kyrie has not looked great in the beginning of the season. And I saw...
he did early on.
Yeah. But, you know. I actually saw a Net fan on Twitter, our man, Yves Darbaugh. Responded to your point about the Kyrie Kemba thing, and how
I didn't respond because I was like, "Look, I'm not lighting this fire again."
But you know, for the podcast with the whole ratings thing and like the stuff we're talking about with who's must see and who's boxed off and who's not, it seems to me like, and this is the larger conversation we've been talking about. And again, we have to take ourselves out of it because we love basketball.
Yeah, we're a casual viewer. Fan. Yeah. Yeah.
What does a casual person actually care about when it comes to the NBA?
Like
what do they want to see?
Highlights.
A person
and
or a team?
That's why I think Kyrie and Damian Lillard are on that sort of they're teetering. But I would say Dame yes, Kyrie no right now just because of winning recency because of highlights.
That's a good
question. When you go on Slam, when you go on this other brand I'm not going to mention, yeah. And then when you go on like House of Highlights and things like that, you're going to just see highlights. You don't see wins. You don't see losses. You just see highlights.
I mean, the Clippers beat Houston last I don't want to get the date, but we're taping this, but on a Friday night. And all I'm seeing in my Twitter is James Harden moves. And I'm like, wait, didn't they lose?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, but that's happened
to me where I've woke up.
I don't
want to
be get off my lawn guy,
but that's become part of the culture that I have not liked, right? Like, there used to be a thing, and this is going to make at least the three of us sound a lot older. You couldn't cross somebody and miss the shot,
right?
And then you put the highlight. Right. Like, nah, man, right. you can't like go for the dunk and almost,
right.
You know, murder somebody in the air
and miss the
but
dunk.
You spaz. Like that's not cool,
and
man.
This is what we were saying This is what we were saying about James Harden right before we got on. Is that?
And I love Harden. Just to be clear,
Brian does not.
I know. I am a huge Harden guy, but like,
Harden a box office guy because he's so polarizing.
No, I don't think he is.
I think his polarization makes him box office.
I happen to agree with you. Yes. I happen to agree.
Because as many people think his game is great, so many people hate his game. Yep. So,
I could get
and they
want
to come
then.
To see him. Yeah.
But I was saying people wanting to see him, I'm not sure. But yes, there are a lot of people like me who don't really enjoy watching him play when he's trying to draw fouls all the time. But anyway.
And he's a name. One of the biggest names.
He's not just a name. He's a brand.
Murph. And he got a beard.
Yeah. No, really.
So that you say that's part of his brand.
No. But Gerard, that's part of it, though. Like, he's known for having a beard and a faux hawk. Like, he's known for that.
And he also
his whole identity. What are you talking about?
And look, there's something to be like. People know the step back, left-handed. You know what? I'll put Harden in there. Just
he is.
For me personally,
you know,
he's not.
Even though you don't like
for
it,
me
right.
personally, he's not.
I think that's being.
I
fair,
mean, listen.
Right.
Taking the foul drawing aside,
yeah,
that's a bad dude, bro. Like when he
catches
the ball,
when he gets to the playoffs.
This is where I'm going. But look, Gerard, this is where I'm going with James Harden. We were just talking about it in your era, right?
Yes.
In you guys' era.
Yes.
The old man get off my lawn ever.
No, but what I'm saying is that's when winning sort of seemed to matter more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
James Harden would be getting killed by a lot of people like
destroyed.
Michael Jordan was used
and
like he used
killed.
To be. No, but he's not getting killed enough.
You don't think he's getting killed enough?
No, he's
really?
Still celebrated for the winning that he's doing. I mean, not for the winning, for the plays that he's doing.
I think it's twofold, right? Huh. National media kills him for not winning. The internet culture loves him for like making people fall.
I do, and I just think those two.
I think it could be both.
Yes,
right?
It's two of those.
But
things.
I think generally, I don't think the losing gets accounted for enough. And I don't want to say losing like he's lost because he's on good teams. Like he's the reason that that team is where it is ultimately. But,
I went back and watched the 2012 run of OKC to the playoffs.
Yeah,
yo,
that's one of your favorite teams.
Harden, Westbrook, and Durant were. Bad effort. They were 23 years old. I was like,
also nothing to lose.
I was like,
and Ibaka, you can't leave Ibaka out.
I was like, this team is incredible. They took down this and made them look like old. Like
Gerard is still mad to this day that they traded James Harden and didn't make it work between all of them.
You know what? At that time,
we traded him over $4 million.
At that
the cap went up the next.
At the time, I said they weren't going to be able to pay him. It meant it was good.
Dog.
However, it was awful.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yo, you can't. Dudes who were 23 and younger who went to the
finals. Who all won MVPs.
And mind you,
not saying that all would happen.
Everyone remembers that finals as, LeBron's first, Besides the game clinching game five when the Heat won, every game was close. Yeah. And the Thunder won game one. Yep. Okay, so.
You know what I remember about. You know what I remember about that day finding out? Because it was really late, and I was getting ESPN alerts on my phone. So I was in a White Castle.
Livid.
I was in a White Castle with a bunch of teammates. We were playing basketball in league. This is my freshman year
White
Castle? Of college. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's something you could do when you're 18. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Eat White Castle and play basketball.
Because there was a White Castle by Queen Center Mall or whatever. So we were just chilling there. We all saw our phones. Oh, James Harden just got traded. We all said the same thing. Oh, he's about to go off.
Yo.
That's the unfortunate thing about it.
And here's the thing, too, and we'll get back to like our actual conversation. We know the reason, and if we can get truth serum on Sam Presti to admit it.
He messed up.
Well, but he won't say the real reason. What had happened was, if you remember, Harden was bad in that finals, right? And part of it was the stories were starting to come out. Well, you know, when the circle wasn't leaking out. You know, we don't know how serious Harden takes this. He might like that nightlife game too much. We don't really know if he's going to be that serious about his craft.
It turned out to be correct.
I mean, listen, he is a Houston.
He would have broken all their regular season records. Don't get me wrong.
He is a Houston certain gentleman club legend. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
But that was, and they were like, we don't know about this guy. We can just get Kevin Martin replace his offense. And I'm like, looking back, you're like, oh my God, Kevin Martin for James Harden? Are you fucking out of your mind?
And Kevin Martin, by the way, solid scorer.
But he ain't James Harden.
Right. And also at that point, he was what he was. James Harden still had.
Three MVPs, and they ended up keeping the worst of the three.
I think Sam Presti would love to do that over again. He chose Ibaka over Harden. He was wrong. He did it to save money. You mentioned the cap going up the next year. All correct. He should have done that over again. You don't break. I think the lesson learned is when you have talent like that, you don't necessarily break
talent
them up.
That you drafted. You didn't have to trade for them.
You can pay them on their rookie extensions
kinda
for
like,
at least
kind of like the Knicks.
Years.
You don't give away.
Amen. Oh, God. You know how I feel about that, Murph.
A 7 foot,
seven foot three.
No, I don't know.
Potential superstar.
Your best player you drafted.
Especially when you drafted him.
To be honest, though, we still.
And now those picks from Dallas do not look as good because Dallas.
We still have to see how that looks in 5 years, but it doesn't look great right now.
No,
you do. You do. Because if Porzingis.
What could possibly happen?
Porzingis breaks down like people expect that he might.
Why? When, I don't understand
he,
why
when does
do
he have
that?
To break down by? How many years does he have to,
like, I just said, if five.
What if he gets hurt 3 years from now for the rest of his career? Was it a good trade?
Maybe. It depends.
But except that you traded it for cap space, essentially.
Well, that's the problem.
Which you signed that's nine power forwards with, right?
Like, but hold on. Now, wait. We got to get back to the superstar.
Does Dallas look like a top four playoff team? Yep. Does Dallas look like a possible top four playoff team?
They look so good.
This year?
They could be.
They look so good right now.
They look good. Their role players are playing good. Let me tell you something.
I ain't doing
Here's all I can.
Top four?
I don't care if they're top six. It doesn't. You know what that means? They're not going to be a lottery pick, and the picks against them are not going to be that good.
So I know you're hurt.
They better do some good.
I know you hurt.
I know you're hurt.
Damn right I'm hurt.
But you're right. The picks won't be good.
Right.
They got.
So you're not getting as high return as you thought you were
going to get. And the player they got back turned out to be not that good. I think we know that.
Dennis Smith Jr.?
Yes. I was still pretty high on him.
I'm going to give him a little bit of pass because of his family issues he went through at the beginning of the year. But I still am not impressed.
I want to get back to the superstar conversation because there are some names that I want to throw at you guys
who
might be on the border. But I have a feeling I know where you're going to go. Joel Embiid.
Yes, must-see.
Oh, wow.
You think he's must see?
I say no, not yet.
I think he's teetering, not there yet.
I don't think
he's. Because I think he captures the social media generation. No, because he's now a that, troll.
That's what I say.
You want to go to the game and see him?
That's what I mean.
I
say.
Do.
All right.
You, that's you don't want to see JoJo play?
I love it.
What about the casual fan?
I do, I think.
What about the casual fan? Because me, personally, I'm in. But casual fan.
I think if the casual fan is a social media NBA Twitter person who likes memes and highlights, yes.
See, then that person is not a casual fan, though.
You don't think it's a casual fan?
If they're searching for that content, if that enough, I think they're not.
Okay,
the House of Highlights
too. But hold on, let me
play casual fan if you're like searching.
Let me play devil's advocate on myself.
Maybe not.
Are you saying that the casual fan is more somebody who actually watches games and doesn't care about highlights? Because if you're making that point, then I kind of understand where you're coming from.
I don't think the casual fan, I think, and I could be wrong. You're talking about you guys think.
Sports Center.
No,
House of Highlights.
I'm just asking you what your opinion is on that.
I think the casual fan actually wants to watch a full basketball game, but they have a different idea of what basketball is now versus what it could be. And that's also That's also demographics, how old you are, right? We have different things. The casual NBA fan who's in his 40s plus is very different than the casual NBA fan who's Brian's age, right? The casual NBA fan's Brian's age is House of Highlights. That's where they're looking.
Uh-huh. I think that's fair.
Casual fan who's 40 plus or into their 50s is like, can't these guys just play basketball and they're right?
Well, those guys are watching college basketball.
Right, but I think some of them still love basketball enough to want to watch the NBA.
Yeah.
But they don't want to see Twitter shit scrolled on their sideline. They want to just show me a game. Right? So I think we have two sort of compete. The NBA wants both of them. Let's be clear. They want both those people.
Right.
But now, how do I cater to both of them?
I think that's fair.
Let me throw another name at you because I don't think he is for mainstream, but I think he is for a particular region.
Okay.
Kemba Walker.
But what region is he primetime for?
New York. Probably Northeast. I would probably go the whole Northeast.
No. He's got the I'll UConn connection.
But that's the thing because of that. Because you know how you know how revered he is here.
Yeah, Bronx kid, also, like all that.
That national championship, again, winning matters.
Huge.
And that was in UConn, and now he's in Boston. So that's why I say the Northeast, probably at
He's must-see for us NBA diehards. For the casual fan, I'm going to say no.
Yo,
what about the casual New Yorker or Connecticutian whatever.
See what helps.
I think you got to be a basketball fan. Like, you're a real fan.
Fan. What helps him is that
I think if you went to UConn though, like if you just went to UConn,
I don't think I actually don't think it matters as much because I think what helps Kemba right now, and this kind of goes to Murph's point before, brand matters. He now plays for the Celtics. The Celtics, wherever they go,
that brand matters.
On the road,
that
I don't care how bad the Celtics are.
Well,
they'll
matters.
Put Celtics right. fans in the seats.
Okay,
when he's at Charlotte, people were checking for
I was going to say, put him back in Charlotte. Does he still have the North?
No.
Does he have,
no.
You don't think he has New
UConn.
York?
He'll have UConn.
Do you think he has New York and Connecticut? That's mainly what I'm saying.
If he comes to play the Nets, he comes to play the Knicks. And even when he was in Charlotte, if he came and played in Boston because they got UConn ties there too, those people would have come out for him. But outside of that.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's to me.
But that's why I said regional.
Okay,
that's
all. Yeah. So in this region, yes.
No,
so
outside, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think he does it for a specific region and for basketball fans, not the casual fan.
No, diehards.
Unless that team, you know, now if Boston starts winning and he's a part of that, then late in the year.
Well, I'm just playing.
We ain't getting on that now.
Yeah, not that yet.
We talked about Giannis already, right?
Yeah, we talked. Oh,
Nikola Jokic.
No.
No.
No,
I
don't think so.
For us, yes, because we know.
For basketball fans, yes.
Casual, no.
No.
Casual, no.
Nobody even knows who that dude is outside
of. That's what I'm saying.
Luka.
Yes. He's close. I don't think he's there.
I think he's there already.
He might be. If somebody wants to put him there, I'm fine with that.
I think the hype train.
But we are talking about the hype. That's what we're talking about.
The hype train got him there.
Well, the hype train.
Casual fan.
Now, mind you, he's delivering. I don't want to get it twisted. He's delivering.
That matters.
The winning matters. I think his name is now, you see him on national TV.
Yes.
You're starting to hear more about what he's doing, getting the triple doubles. It's put him now in that.
Also, he's entertaining.
Like, and let's just be honest.
Trash,
and just,
he laughs.
Let's be honest and call it what it is.
He pulls from like half.
Come on, Jerron.
Let's be
come
honest
on, Jerron.
What it is. It matters that he's white and good at basketball.
It does. It does matter.
Yeah.
It matters.
All right, I'm going to give you a few more because we got to move on. John Morant.
No,
nobody knows John. I mean, we loved, yes, but no one knows John.
I actually think he's kind of close.
No, he's not close.
I think he's
a lot further than you think.
Way further than you think.
Well, how far do you think I think he is?
I think you just said thought he's close.
We go outside right now and ask 10 people on the street. You know John Morant is? They'd be like,
they went, nah.
I think you're.
You got to
be a fan.
All right. He's going to be a star very, very soon.
I don't think he might be wrong.
You know I hope him and my boy Triple J become stars in Memphis. You know that.
I'll probably give you 3-4 more. Paul George.
No.
I love Paul George.
I agree with all of you.
I love Paul George, but he's not.
Even with the Nike hat, he's not.
Donovan Mitchell.
No.
No. He plays in Utah. No.
I guarantee Donovan Mitchell was in another market, though. If Donovan Mitchell was playing in Miami, he will be talking differently about it.
In a couple years.
Who else is like a top?
I think I know where he might be coming.
Who else is a top 15 player?
Really? Ooh, I don't
Jimmy Butler.
No.
No, but people know him, but not like that.
Because he is.
He's too blue collar.
I wouldn't say. Well, that's the thing. I wouldn't say
he's Brian Fonseca All-Star.
I wouldn't say
yes.
But he's kind of like soccer fans like him because he's cool with Neymar and he's cool with Mark Wahlberg, so he has that whatever.
People
like,
know Jimmy.
So there's that kind of thing. But I don't know if people are coming to see him play because he's blue collar.
No.
But if Miami does continue to win at that level,
yes.
Then he's going to be one of the people that
I think that'll be more about.
But that'll probably be more of a Miami.
He'll never be a D Wade. Never.
What if they win a title?
Never more than
not that he's well, gonna be. Not that he's gonna be Dwayne Wade.
Yeah,
but not and not that they're not this year. But I'm saying
if
like
get,
while
if they get
while he's like, there,
they get Luka maybe. They
while, yeah,
can you imagine Luka in South Beach.
Oh Lord.
Jesus Christ.
Well, first of all, I have a conspiracy theory that they're getting D'Angelo Russell at some point.
Well, he ain't taking him no championship. Is he even? What's up? I want to ask you about him too. I know it's your boy. Not really.
Who's my boy?
I'm joking. So he's kind of your boy, D'Angelo, in terms of rooting for the guy and all, and noticing
who
he
rooted
was nice,
for him.
Noticing he was nice.
I covered him.
Early,
he cool
from early,
but like
I'm not. I'm just saying
you got real defensive.
You big him up. You've been bigging him up the last few years.
Not really.
Yeah.
Nah. You think I am? You should see Twitter,
not,
bro.
Not.
You should see other people on Twitter.
Objectively, I'm just saying that.
Yeah. You're not saying you're a D'Lo stan. He's saying that.
I'm not saying you're stan.
I think you like. I think you liked his turnaround.
Yes. You point out his turnaround. You objectively say like
point out when he does good things.
But you know what it is. I think that people are way too hard on him for dumb shit. And I think that...
No, you've been right about that.
I think that we oversee that, yo, 23-year-old all-star at point guard.
Right. That's hard to do.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
What's been his deal at Golden State? He's missed...
He got a sprained thumb and they're
tanking.
Listen,
they tanking. Everybody, they get James Wiseman.
He doesn't need the work?
Apparently not.
Last name, Karl-Anthony Towns.
No,
but he should be because he's got the talent to be.
Well, that's the thing.
He should be.
I feel like he should be.
He should be.
And I don't know if it's market size or, but I think it's
put some numbers.
I think it's winning.
That's why winning
more than anything else.
And his game is a little ugly. I'm sorry.
Except this year, not so.
No, I mean, ugly like aesthetically. Like he's very effective.
He's shooting like 9 threes a game.
His step back looks funny.
Yeah, it looks funny. You know what I'm saying? He's like. His dunks aren't like a Giannis. He doesn't just, you know. Wreck the rim like
even
Giannis
though he's
does.
Been playing with much more aggression this year. I see what you're saying. You're still like, y'all know if I buy
I'm not dissing him. He's a great player.
I mean, as we said,
he's also a playoff guy who hasn't done anything to play. As MB pointed out.
Yo, but this is interesting, though, because we were talking about the whole thing about people going for highlights and wins not sort of mattering as much. But when it comes to buying a ticket, it seems that wins matter. So what are we doing there? Is it just the convenience of being at home
or LA?
Being at home and not paying for anything?
People
just want to...
Well, the NBA, like everything else now in the 21st century, is competing for mindshare. Think about it. When we grew up in the 80s and, well, you know, all of us born like, no, except for you. We grew up in a different era, right? Like, there weren't that many things to do to occupy your attention span, right? Now, there are a billion things to do on any given night that are before sports, right? Then you're like, oh, I guess I'll turn on this game.
Even with sports, like look at NFL. They've had some issues in terms of people coming to the games, because most people would rather sit home and watch all the games.
Yeah,
you know, have football, access.
That's
to,
the thing.
Have access to all the
and
games.
And football in particular.
And even basketball, for instance, I've thought about it. You know, should I go to this Nets game or should I just chill and watch all 12 games and tweet about all these joints?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing: you can grow, and as we all know, you can grow your brand if you're in the media or even if you're just a regular person. You can grow your brand from at home better than you could if you went to a game.
Getting these jokes off of these
free.
Hot takes.
It's a good point Jamal makes about the expansion, like league passes. Stuff right. And I've been a League Pass subscriber for like
love
6 years
League
or whatever.
Pass.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'll do with it. I love it because it's great for me. I travel for work, but it does make you take maybe from that experience of being like, yo, do I really want to go to the game? I still love going to the games.
Yeah,
I just don't pay to go see my team because they're not worth that giving them my money.
But a lot of people do. Are you talking about the Knicks?
Well, that's also the problem with the Knicks, right?
But
a lot of people still show up, so there's no incentive for the ownership to actually improve the team when they're still getting money because people are filling the seats.
Well, I think one thing we're talking about casual fans. I think what fills up a stadium, no matter, you know, in, for the Knicks in LA, for example, even it doesn't matter if they're winning or losing; those they're going to be full. It's the casual fan and the non-fan. You know what I'm saying? It's just because you're going there for an event.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You might not even care. You just want to be around
people. Maybe, and a spectacle.
You want something
so that's
to
why
do.
It helps when there's a winner. Yeah. Like if it's not New York City and LA.
Sure.
That's why it helps when there's a winner. Like in Dallas, if they're winning,
Milwaukee,
it's an event. Yeah. Everybody's happy.
You're right.
It's the place to
Yo,
be.
Yo, I just thought about something that Merck just said. Yes. Can you pull up the Clippers attendance numbers? Because something I noticed on TV watching, and I got to get up Staples, and I've been to Staples for a game, but like to cover a game, Lakers and Knicks, right? They are the two dominant teams in their markets, right? In terms of attendance-wise.
Oh, Clippers and Lakers are very close this year.
I'd imagine.
What are the Knicks? I'm just curious.
Seventh in average, and in percentage, they are 16th.
But on the flip side, right, Brooklyn and the Clippers are the stepsisters or stepbrothers of those two teams.
Yeah.
If you watch a Clippers game, the road team often has a lot of people in attendance, even with the Clippers being
because
the better team, right?
You know why? The Clippers brand just still isn't as strong
right.
enough out
there. Whereas the Lakers can be terrible for 8 years, and it's still going to be majority
but
Lakers fans.
So right now, to answer that, the Clippers are eighth in attendance, the Lakers are ninth.
But that speaks to what Murph is saying.
But is it more road people, though, coming to watch?
This is home.
But in percentage,
the Lakers are slightly higher.
But that's part of what can happen in the city, right? The Garden or the Staples Center. For the Lakers and Knicks and their brand, it means something to just be there.
Yeah.
Right? Like a non-fan would be like, oh, man, I was at the Garden. I was at the Knicks game.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And they don't care about the Knicks.
Yeah.
Right? Or whoever's even coming to play them, right?
I was at the Garden.
And I think a lot of that happens in L.A. too, where it's like, yo, but I was at the Laker game. Let me put this on here for the gram so y'all can see that. Mm-hmm. So you get
and
these people.
And am I checking for the Barclays Center?
Right. And that kind of hurts the Nets and Clippers in terms of attendance because nobody's really like, I was at the Nets. No, I'm not trying to disrespect the Nets. I'm at the Nets game. The Barclays Center still isn't like, this is the spot to be.
Yes.
It doesn't have that cachet.
And to that point.
I blame Barclays a little for that, too.
Well, yeah,
there's potential there.
Yeah,
totally. I don't think.
Bed-Stuy.
They do things in a
very
corny
strange
way.
Yeah. Let's call it what it is.
In a way that does not align with the culture of Brooklyn.
Right.
Right.
That's because I know.
Or even New York City.
Yeah.
You're in New York City.
Well, here's the thing, too.
Barclays, you're in New York City.
Well, I think the problem is.
Watch what MSG does. You know what I'm saying? And copy them if you have to.
To your point, even today, celebrities that be at these games, that's where you know the difference, too. Who's at Knicks games? Meg Thee Stallion is there and she's hot right now. ASAP Ferg is there. But ASAP Ferg is at Nets games because they got some sort of deal. He's at Knicks games a lot.
Joey Badass and what's his face? And Steve Madden, only people to be going to Nets games.
Right, that's the thing, right? So when you go to Nets games, it's Steve Madden, Ashley Graham, no disrespect to her, Joey Badass.
Right.
At Knicks games, you get Spike Lee all the time, but you also get like really, really
big
celebrities.
You get Sophie Turner. You get
if David Beckham Jonas is brothers. If David Beckham is in New York, he's pulling up.
Yes.
You know
what
I mean?
Like, you get B and C list celebrities in Knicks games, and you know what? The Knicks still find him on the broadcast and still shout him out. My man Weebay from The Wire was on there the other day, and they said, I was like, oh man, I'm surprised they actually shouted him out. I mean, Mike Breen's a huge Wire fan, but that helps. But still, that's. It's still a place to be. It means something to be at the Staples Center.
Yes.
It means something
to be. The Lakers, Jack Nicholson, Snoop Dogg,
Dwayne
Wade.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah, like it means something to be there. And I'm like, no disrespect to the Clippers, who is worse for them because they play in the same building, Nets. Right, same building, but different experience.
Right.
But
right.
That's wild. But that's to wild. Jamal's point, it changes with winning. So if the Clippers do win a title this year, like some people expect.
Oh, yeah, that could change the culture very quickly.
It still won't be a Clippers town.
Same thing if the Nets win a title here.
It won't be
a Nets town, but they'll progress in that sort of area.
Which is weird because when the Mets-Yankees, we all know the Yankees are the more historic franchise and they have more fans. But when the Mets win a World Series,
it is
becomes a Mets town.
That's true.
It does.
Or the Mets go through a playoff run. It does.
Right.
Look at 2015. In 2015.
It's a Mets town. So I'm trying to figure out why that is because, you know, I mean, this is 1960. How many years was that? Like, how many years did it take? It took 20-something years?
Right.
Maybe. Because, I mean, the Knicks have been here for so long, the Nets just kind of got to.
And I wonder if baseball is different because of all the teams that left
and the Clippers.
The Dodgers and Giants fans that came together and some probably went to the Yankees, so you have that history.
And the Clippers' history, they've been bad. They were bad for so long.
They're also
long.
Not from L.A. I remember they're from San Diego.
Right.
And same thing with the Nets. They're not from New York.
And they were also bad for so long where the Mets, they had their bad stretches, but there was winning even as early as 1969. Right. Then you're talking about another World Series appearance in 73. Right. They won in 86. Then in the late 90s, they got good again, and they went in 2000. Then in 2006, they were very good again. So every decade, there's like a little run there.
Yeah. You know? The Mets aren't as bad as people think. You know what I'm saying? Like they get lumped with the Jets. But they're successful way more than those.
They are. Wow, that's crazy. They've had a run like every decade. Yo, the Jets suck. They don't have runs like that.
So they trash.
Well, the best period
of the Jets for me was 1998 to 2004. I think they made the playoffs like five. I think it was like 5 years.
Well, that was when they discovered their second best quarterback ever, Parcells? Chad Pennington.
Some Parcells. Then some
that's
Al,
crazy. Their second best quarterback ever is like Chad Pennington.
And then Herm Edwards, beginning of Herm Edwards.
Because the Jets' runs are really just delayed, and we're going to get off this because we got to get to the in-season changes.
Please.
But late 60s. Mid-80s, they had a little, Ken O'Brien and stuff.
Mark Gastineau.
Late 90s.
Ain't nobody's excited about that.
Late 90s, and then it was like late 90s, early 2000s, and Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
That's it.
Went to two AFC title games with Rex.
Yeah, that's it.
That defense.
Did we really just talk about the Jets?
Sorry.
Anyway, done now.
You know we like to hook our listeners up from time to time, and we have a hookup for you today. So for the listeners of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. You can check out one of my favorite sports books, $40 Million Slaves, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Black Athlete by William C. Roden. That's available on audible.com with hundreds of thousands of other books that you can listen to today. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/AHTT. Again, that's audibletrial.com/AHTT for your free audiobook.
More NBA.
We love the NBA.
Episode 100.
Can you say that with a little bit more anger?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Talk your shit, Playboy.
Yeah, he is talking that shit for
episode
real.
Episode 100.
Woo. You sound like you're ready to fight.
Shocking.
I don't want. I just be acting ready. I don't actually.
You should always
fight.
Stay ready.
I'm ready, but I don't want to be ready. I don't want it to get there. You know what I'm saying? Especially in this room, I'm good. I got nothing to worry about here.
Oh, but if you bring the wrong person in here, you might not.
No,
be
but
good.
If I'm outside, then it's you probably got to put the mean face on and listen to Griselda. You know what I'm saying? Like you got
to. You always have the mean face on. All right, so the NBA is engaged in serious discussions with the National Basketball Players Association and broadcast partners about sweeping dramatic changes to the league calendar that would include a reseeding of the four conference finalists, a 30-team in-season tournament, and a postseason play-in. This was according to league sources who told ESPN. These scenarios will come with the shortening of the regular season to a minimum of 78 games and... Yeah, I feel like they could have shaved off more if they're going to do that. But you know the owners want to get that money.
Right.
I find this fascinating. I don't know how everybody else is going to feel about this. Let's start with this first. I think all of us agree here the NBA season probably should be reduced some, right? I think we all probably...
Fact, too long.
I don't think it fixes much of anything, to be honest. But we get into that.
The in-season tournament.
So,
what are your thoughts?
As you know, I'm a huge Champions League guy, yep, right? Soccer. So,
I casually like Champions
League. I love the idea of an in-season tournament. Now, the question is, how do you make it matter to the players that they actually care about it? Number one. So, if they're not bought in, it ain't going to matter.
So, the word is that there will be incentives for players and coaches monetarily.
That is definitely one way to get them excited.
What's the purpose of it?
So, yes, right? Yeah. Like
because
that,
then,
that's not clear to me.
Because then you're making games matter more, and that means what? More minutes, more injuries, less load management.
So here's the way I think it would work. Whatever the BRI pie is that is attributed to the amount of home games an owner gets, right? Every team gets 41 in the regular season.
What's BRI?
Basketball related income.
Oh, nice.
Whatever that
I didn't know that. I was like, oh.
Whatever that number is. that 41 game number cannot go down, and whatever the projections are, that has to stay the same. Okay. So you can reduce the number of regular season games and add this tournament in if you get a sponsor and whomever else to put in enough money to collectively make up for the money that is going away from however many regular season games you're getting. Because then, less games, right? Still got the in-season tournament. Because it's not about the amount of games. It's the amount of money. That's the issue that are the owners, and let's be clear, the players don't want less money either.
Understood.
Right? What's the competitive purpose? And what's the
let me answer that,
because I don't I don't follow the soccer.
You don't watch it.
So how does it work?
So let's say you're in La Liga, right? Which is one of the number one. It's the number one league in Spain. You win La Liga, that's a big deal, right? Yes. The La Liga champion. Being the Champions League champion is an even bigger deal, because that's La Liga. That is Bundesliga. That's Premier League. That's Premier every league, other yeah. major
it's,
league.
It's in the middle of the season.
Yes, it runs throughout the course of the full year. So what happens is, like, let's say the normal soccer season is going on. Then it'll be like, oh, we have a 2-week break because it's Champions League time, right? So if your team is playing during Champions League, you're doing that thing. If your team's not, you got a little bit of a break.
They
right?
do this. In international basketball too, by the way.
But is this a situation where these are all separate leagues playing separately, and then they come together
to
play teams they wouldn't ordinarily play?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. That's not the case here.
So it can't be quite the same exact way, right? But maybe you can figure out where you do more cross conference matchups or something.
And it'll be sponsored by Mountain Dew, Tiso, and Gatorade.
Let me explain the process here. So the proposal would include the adoption of this in-season tournament and postseason play. The traditional regular season schedule will be reduced from 82 games, with most teams scheduled to play 78 or 79. There's a small possibility of a team playing a maximum of 83 games based on the possible tournament playing scenarios, league sources said. For the in-season tournament, the NBA is focused on 30-team participation. It begins with a divisional group stage of scheduled regular season games. So what it would be is that, so take the Atlantic Division, the Knicks and Nets and Raptors and Celtics. And am I forgetting another team? No, that's it. Yeah, right. We'll play each other. And in the winner of that, the six divisional winners will play. And then the two teams that are like the best records that were non-divisional winners, I guess they'd be wild cards, and that would be the knockout round. Right, so it would be six divisional winners based on home and road records in the group stage. Two teams with the next best records would advance to a single elimination knockout round. That's according to league source says. These teams could potentially compete in the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals.
So it's not – you're describing how, like the change in the playoff system almost, right?
No, that's just for that in-season tournament.
That would be an in-season tournament?
That's just an in-season tournament thing.
But yeah, I think they're doing too much.
They're not cutting –
just make the All-Star game more competitive. How about that?
I'm not sure there's a way you can.
I know, but I'm just saying. Like,
well, they're not cut. For me, look, I like the idea of it, because I actually like how it works in soccer. Mm-hmm. And in basketball, they do it also.
Let me add one more thing, because I didn't read this before, about how they're going to break it up. So the NBA and NBPA are finding common ground in a post-Thanksgiving tournament window that will extend into mid-December, league sources said. Months ago, the NBA proposed a late January-February tournament that would culminate with a Final Four during the All-Star weekend. That would have been interesting to put that during All-Star weekend. Hmm. That was interesting.
That is interesting.
That idea faded fast. Huh. I thought that'd make All-Star weekend more interesting. Both the union and team executive expressed concerns over the idea. The NBA was resistant to shorting players' All-Star breaks and requiring some to potentially participate in the in-season tournament and All-Star weekend. I'll tell you what, upon reading that, I would not be upset at them getting rid of the All-Star game and stretching out this in-season tournament kind of like.
But then where are all the Instagram hoes going to go?
Bro, they still Brian coming Wallen. To that weekend, man. Yeah,
Brian Wallen, he said, "Where the?
Where are you still coming to that weekend?"
shout out to the IG ladies who
I could not, pass. Yeah, that
why they gotta be hoes though? Yeah.
They hustlers.
They hustlers. They not right. Yo, the beautiful ladies of Instagram that want to go out to All Star Weekend and hustle for their money. Exactly. Yo, man, I ain't mad at them.
They just out here trying to do their thing.
Hustle out there, sisters. Yeah. You
keep
do what you
keep taking them selfies.
Listen.
Seriously. Like you don't be liking them.
I don't.
I know what Instagram pictures Brian be liking. I see who pictures you be liking on IG.
What pictures I be liking?
So you stalk what he
likes. No, I know. No. It's only because we follow the
you
same person.
You can't even see that feature anymore. Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I'm
man, you know, a few athletes.
A few athletes that he think look good. That's all. Yeah. I can't knock them.
Yeah. You know? You know what I'm saying? 100. We out here.
I'm just saying, I'm not mad at ladies who go down.
By the way, I didn't say they were ladies only. That's an important distinction.
Whoa, hey now.
You know what I'm saying?
So there's dudes to be whoring out there for Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
I'm sure there are.
Come on.
Well, a lot of people be whoring for
Let's not make this gender binary. I'm a progressive individual. There are a lot of men out here be giving it up funny, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, Brian Wallen up in the water.
Wow. Anyway, they got EuroLeague in basketball, too. You know what I'm saying? CSA, Moscow, Real Madrid.
They try to figure out a way to make the regular season matter. Because ultimately,
I'm clipping the hell out of that.
Like this tournament, that's would be totally separate. Those games wouldn't count as regular
season. No, they would.
They're trying to make the regular season matter more. Because that's the issue right now, right? Is ultimately the regular season, even to us, kind of doesn't matter to an extent, right? Because it's so long,
right?
Well, there's a reason a lot of us...
And half the league makes the playoffs, right? So it's...
But there's a reason a lot of us say that the season starts in Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be the case because you're talking about 2 months of the regular season not, quote-unquote, mattering.
Yeah.
But also, if they're, my biggest issue with the rule changes is that, yo, if you're going to bring in this tournament... You're only going to cut the regular season to 78 games.
That's my thing.
What are you really doing?
And let's say you do well in that tournament, and you also end up being somebody who's like somewhere between. And I'll get to the end of season tournament. We'll get to that in a second. You end up playing a couple games, and you make a good run through the playoff. You could end up playing 83 games if you play in the in season tournament and the play in.
And if you go to the finals, you play over 100 games.
Right.
Chances are those teams probably won't get to the finals, most likely. Yeah, but I get your point. I like this. I will say this. I like it to a degree.
I like the idea.
I like the idea about it. I'm sure there's more that could be tweaked. I like the in-season tournament because what it actually does is it makes these divisional matchups actually more intriguing because divisions are kind of been dead and stupid for quite some time.
No real rivalries, right? Like what's a rivalry that you're like, I'm watching that?
That's the thing I like. Maybe this starts to create rivalries because the games need more. The players will know there's money on the line. And if your team is, for example, right now, the Knicks are what, 5-12, 5-13, whatever they are?
Yeah.
Yo, but I might get a little bit excited about this in-season tournament. Players might get up for that. Your team might not be going to the playoffs, but you'd be like, maybe
there's money involved, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to play these games anyway, so why not put a little extra incentive in it? I don't think it's a bad idea.
But Knicks are 4-11, by the way.
Question.
Don't give them that extra game.
Did I give them an extra win? You know what? I think when they played Philly, I was like, they're going to get this fifth win. Even though in my mind, I was like, they're definitely going to
Well, by the time we put this out, you never know. But question, there an avenue business-wise for them to do this, but reducing it the season instead of 78
Absolutely.
To like 70?
Absolutely. Look, the idea is, I think the sweet spot is 60 to 65 games. That's the sweet spot.
Stretched, I think 70 is good.
Stretched out over the same amount of time that it is now. But what you do is you give them a full training camp. But these guys don't get a full training camp. Training camp used to be a month back in the day. Training camp's barely 2 weeks now.
And this year, there was FIBA. Next year is the Olympics.
Okay, so which is a whole other situation in and of itself. Yeah. That will cut it down to, at most, you're playing in a week is 2 games. Maybe 3, but mostly 2. But that in-season tournament now gets stretched so that you, again, the idea is the BRI and the revenue. You can't have that amount of money decrease. That is where this all, that's the core. If we got less money, nobody's signing up for that. But if you can figure out a way to make that in-season tournament make up for the less regular season games, they're going to be all good for this.
Yeah.
See, I agree with you.
But if they could get
it to that spot, even if they went down to 70 games, I think it'd be good. But if they could get that 65, 66 in there and make up the money, look, they can make up the money. There's people who would want to put major dollars into this.
Mountain Dew?
Find a ton of sponsors out here.
Yep. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to get...
You get a foreign sponsor.
You're going to get casual...
Turkish Airlines?
Who cares? Anybody?
You're going to get casual fans who... don't have league pass and might say, hey, you know how they now have the single game thing? I might want to buy this one single game to see this divisional matchup. Mm-hmm. There's revenue to be made there. It can happen.
They can do it. They can do it.
You could do almost like a NCAA tour. Like
almost.
Single elimination.
You can almost That'd do it that crazy. Way.
Well, that's what it's going to be once you get to that knockout round. Yeah. It'll be single elimination, which I think is something you're adding to the NBA that makes it different from the playoffs and exciting. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm for this. What the NBA doesn't want to do is they don't want to get rid of, they don't want to shoehorn the games on the Christmas Day schedule.
Yes,
even though they still want to keep the Christmas Day games, these big marquee matchups, and I get that. Now,
that's the showcase.
The play-in proposal, okay, guys, for the end of the season, it'll be 2 4-team tournaments featuring the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th seed in each conference. The 7th seed will host the 8th seed, the winner of that single game earning the 7th spot, league sources said. 9th seed would hold 9th seed, can't talk, would host the 10th seed, with the winner of that game facing the loser of the 7-8 matchup for the final playoff
spot. Really? Not 7-10 and 8-9?
No. That's interesting. So,
I like that, but so I don't think people will.
I don't mind that. 7 and 8 play for 7. 9 and 10 plays for the spot with the loser of that 7-8.
I don't think people are going to go for that, because I think what people are going to ultimately conclude is that, oh, whoever wins this is going to get smacked around by the higher seeds. I would enjoy that little 4-game.
But what they're doing is they're giving the 9 and 10 this chance to fight for a game that matters for them to actually get in. And if you finish 8th, at least there's some value to that, because now you have to lose twice to not make it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like that for the AC.
Let's do this right now.
People just start tanking. the 10th seed team, like, nah, we want the draft pick. They got all their rookies out there.
Hold up.
G League team is playing.
Hold up. So let's do this right now. It would be single elimination, right? Yep. In the East right now.
Double if you're 7 or 8 seed.
Well, yeah, okay. 7 versus 10 in the East. Nets, Hornets.
Oh, exciting. Ooh.
Are we getting people to really watch that, though, and really care outside of Nets fans and Hornets fans?
Yo, because it's a postseason game.
Because you know who's the second seed is Miami. Like, Miami's watching either of those teams right now. And then 8-9 is Orlando and Washington?
Washington, by the way,
who scores a lot.
Check Washington's offensive numbers.
Yo, the Pistons suck. Wow.
Check Washington's offensive numbers.
7 and 10 in the West. Now this is a little more interesting.
Yeah, way exactly.
This is interesting if this team.
Yo, I'm watching this, man. I'll be all over.
Timberwolves, Pelicans.
Ah, woo! With Zion back.
Because without Zion,
but that's 7 versus 10. Interesting, right?
It's not that interesting.
I actually have a Timberwolves question
7,
for 10. Y'all.
8-9 is Suns Kings.
But the way they have it would be who's 7?
Oh, my fault. I did that wrong. So it'll be Timberwolves, Suns. See, I don't like that 7 versus 8, whatever. Timberwolves versus Suns, Kings versus Pelicans.
No, I think you want the high seed against the low seed, but I think what you're not realizing what they're doing is, I like what they're doing. They're rewarding you for finishing.
Right.
Like, if you finish in the top 8, you still get rewarded. It's double elimination for you.
Right, yes.
So they're rewarding you for that, and I like that.
Those other two teams.
You get single. Okay. Yep. You get double elimination.
So it will be Timberwolves versus Suns, Kings versus Pelicans.
Right. So when the 7-8.
The loser of the Timberwolves, Suns would play. The
winner. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes more sense.
So I like that, because
the East would be Nets Magic.
Mm-mm. That's a little better.
Wizards Hornets.
And look, if you finish,
I don't think the casual fans.
So the thing is, it still matters to finish in the top 8, because it doesn't come down to single elimination for you. 9-10 is single elimination for you, but if you finish
once
in the top,
you out.
Yeah, at least if you're in 7-8, you got two chances. You have to mess this up twice to not get it.
What else is there on the rules?
That was really it. Those are really the big things. That's really it. There is some. They're just trying to have a framework on what it's doing. They're talking about this happening in 2021-22 season.
Isn't that the year where high school players might?
Yep. Also the 75th anniversary.
The double draft, which means the new all time teams coming out.
Yep.
So you know when they did the top 50 players of all time, and that's so the new.
They're gonna do the top 75.
Top 75, yep.
So it'll be interesting to see like how they, who's what, and all
that. I'm intrigued to see.
There's a bunch of names I want to throw at you guys.
100%.
Look,
say what you want to say, because I want to throw some names at you.
Look, I think it's time. It's time for the NBA to shake up some stuff with the regular season.
Oh, yeah,
the NBA has been progressive in that. It's time to shake up some stuff. Divisions don't matter anymore, but this matters anymore. I think this also. If people want to value the playoffs and getting these extra playoff games for money, because we know that matters, it might help with some of the tanking. Although, Murph, I'm kind of with you, where some people still going to tank anyway. People still going to find a way to tank if they don't want to be there. However, the thing is, if you don't get in the top 8 and get in the playoffs, you're still going to get in the lottery. So it is what it is.
But I'm all for NBA single elimination tournament.
I love this, and we've talked about this.
If you don't get in the top 8 and you make the playoffs, you'd be in the lottery?
Yeah, you'd still be back into the lottery pool. Wow. Yeah. Oh, the other thing I forgot to add you guys is the other thing that's on the table is the reseeding of the Final Four in the NBA. So when it gets to the Final Four, they would do a reseeding. So potentially there could be this possibility where two East teams play in the final or two West teams play in the final.
Means it'll be two West teams.
Well, here's the thing. But you get the best teams in the finals.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
I don't mind that.
Unless you're a traditionalist and you miss the Eastern Conference versus the Western Conference, I could let that go.
I also honestly don't mind reseeding the entire, like, you know, the top, well, that's the thing. Top 16 teams, period, make it. I don't mind that.
I think they won't do that. I know because they won't. Of too much for travel. Yes. Yeah. I think that's why they won't do it.
But that makes the most sense.
Yes, that causes.
Oh, I think it makes a whole lot of sense. Because
it'll be very Western.
Because then you could do it. You're guaranteeing the best 16 teams.
And you're going to
you could do it if you shorten the regular season and space out the playoffs.
Because again, you got to remember, this is a TV product. And if the majority of things are happening in the Western time zone, it's going to screw up the TV and the rest.
Yeah, but I need to watch Orlando.
Yes. That's a great yes, TV. Yes, you do need to watch Orlando.
I feel you.
I actually like Orlando.
I do, well, you know.
But I like Jonathan
Isaac.
You're
not a casual fan.
Overall, we talk about this. We love the NBA, so we're never going to stop watching it. I do worry about
that. Well, unless they start acting like the NFL, then maybe I have to think about it.
Yes, that's a different
thing.
But
that's not going to happen.
The Sports Walk is back. Watch Season 3 of Backpack Broadcasting's original web series that brings you the opinions of real sports fans. The first two seasons and current season are available now for viewing on the Sports Walk YouTube channel and Facebook page. Check out the 2017 NYC WebFest official selection and see what other sports fans have to say on the hottest issues in sports today. It's easy. Just take the Sports Walk.
I do worry about the league, though, in terms of, like, how it's marketed and, like, listen, stars are important, and this is going to lead me to the question I'm going to ask you guys, and I love that the NBA pushes its stars, but what happens for the casual fan, right, and I know we keep focusing on them, but that's the market the NBA wants. When all we care about and talk about is James Harden and this person is that person, does anybody actually give a damn about the Rockets or about the Clippers or about, right? Because that game when Kawhi sat out the first end of that back-to-back in the load match and everybody lost their shit and all that pearl clutching that was going on, that was a good-ass game without Kawhi.
Yes, it was.
It went down to the last seconds.
Yeah.
But nobody talked about that the next day. It was all, duh, load management. The fans came to see Kawhi.
That's the issue, too.
And I'm like, yeah. No, but the game was good.
Yeah. Like, I mean, when you flip on First Take, for example, yeah, that's what they're going to be talking about. It's talking points. It's not necessarily, yo, this dude had 38, 16. Because you see Luka do this all the time. They don't start talking about it until he's 7 triple-doubles in.
It's crazy, but I do have a question for you guys, thinking about stars and just on, and I pose this on my podcast, but on pure talent alone, can you name more than 5 duos in the league you're taking over Kat and Wiggins? Just on talent, not on what they've accomplished on the court, none of that. Just on strictly pure physical talent.
Okay. So I'm taking
LeBron
and
AD.
Okay.
Kyrie. Kawhi and
Paul George.
Kawhi and Paul George. Are we including health or like
Harden and Westbrook?
Are KD and Kyrie healthy in this scenario?
You sure.
Okay, so KD, Kyrie.
KD, Kyrie, and Harden and Westbrook.
Harden and Westbrook.
I'm taking them.
See, look at your left, right? You had a pause for a minute. You're like,
Because I'm thinking about
Curry and Clay when healthy.
Listen, Westbrook's drop off is coming and it's going to be dramatic.
Ugly.
You know, so.
What makes you think it hasn't started?
my point only being about those two
but
is
that's a discussion for me because of Westbrook.
They're starting to play close to what their talent level is, and they could be a nightmare. Again, they haven't done shit yet.
Wiggins, and I heard you talk about this on your podcast, Gerard. Wiggins has been a lot better
than I
thought
he would. Alone?
On pure talent, just what they've done. Talent.
So I agree with that. Like maybe I'm coming with 5. It's hard for me scanning my brain to think of more because Giannis don't got anybody else that I think is great for me.
Middleton?
Nah,
I'll take Luka Porzingis over that.
I would too. That's a good one. I would take
interesting. I think I might take Kat Wiggins as much as I love Luka.
Kemba Tatum, whatever their duo is.
Nah.
Is that the duo?
No. Not for me. Me personally, no.
I'm looking at top teams in the East. Simmons and Embiid.
Maybe. Yeah, I think I'll take that. Well, I mean, he did hit a 3 the other day.
So. Oh, my God.
Wait.
He hit 1-3.
Wait, question.
He took a 3.
Question.
He took it. The fact that he took it.
Butler and Bam?
No.
They're not you don't even call them a
duo. I'm just asking.
Is Luka better than Ben Simmons?
Yes.
Yeah. Is he what?
Here's the thing. If you shoot and you make it, Gerard, and you also rebound and give assists, you are better than Ben Simmons.
I know you're not,
His numbers are way better.
Gerard, here's the thing. Like,
offensive numbers are
here's
way
the
better.
Thing. Offensively, it's not even close.
Not even close.
The reason why.
Defensively, Ben Simmons is better.
That
is the reason why.
And that is why. That's why I. You know,
but Ben Simmons' best attribute is passing. Luka might be better at that.
He's a better defender, than Luka easily.
I actually think Luka's a better passer.
He's better at everything on offense.
He rebounds really good for his size.
Everything.
I mean, Ben Simmons is a good rebounder too, but. If your point is that we are sleeping on the Cat and Wiggins
because you know what happens? They've been in the league so long because Wiggins came out after his freshman year. So you're like, damn, that guy's in his sixth year. He should be good by now. He's only, 20?
Except he was playing good.
He was on that 25 and under list.
Trae Young, year. John Collins?
No.
Not there yet. I like the both of them.
I like them.
Jamal. I know you like Trae.
Top five second year combos, whatever.
Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic.
No, they're on the outside looking.
Because you know why?
Really?
As much as I love, I love Jokic.
Is it Murray?
Yo, man. Yeah. Murray got me feeling some kind of way. I don't know what it is about him.
He's got to put it together consistently.
Here's another one. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert.
No. Because Rudy is so limited offensively. I love Rudy defensively, but Rudy is so limited.
So basically, there's anywhere between 4 to like 9. It's based on preference.
Yes, it's based on preference.
I think they're probably somewhere as like the 6th or 7th best duo, Cat and Wiggins.
But could you imagine if they actually do, like, I know you said like they're already, but like actually reach their potential? Like, damn, they could be so good.
Because like most of the duos I name, I'm taking them over them because. Granted, we're talking about talent level.
But you think about what they've accomplished too, like taking that out of it.
But like for example, I saw Cat against Bam Adebayo in that early game of the season, and I saw what Bam did to him on defense, and I'm like, yeah, I like the guy who plays defense. Like that's why I think with Ben Simmons,
but
he at least plays defense.
Cat could be like, as we saw
in the playoffs and as we've seen in other big games, he can get shut down relatively easily by dudes who just want to defend him.
And he needs to get tougher mentally.
Yeah. Mentally, and look,
I think fighting Embiid kind of started that.
I think
process
it did.
Again,
I hope so.
He's got more aggressive.
Like, but here's the thing: if they've reached their ceiling together, then yes, they could be a top five, probably top three duo in the NBA.
But see, that's the thing.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
I guess that's the question. I guess it, with other duos like Murph mentioned with Porzingis and Doncic, that's the reason. Yeah. I see what Doncic is doing. I've always believed in what Doncic could do. I still damn sure believe in what KP could do, and we know how unique he is. They could be scary.
Oh, wait.
Scary
I got one more duo for
this you. This better be good.
Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson.
Damn, that's actually a good – that's actually a good duo.
Why are you doubting me for?
Because you know what? No, I thought you were going to do. I thought he was going to say something stupid like RJ Barrett and Marcus Morris.
I thought about it. I was thinking Devontae Graham, PJ Washington. What's the dumbest one? Isaiah Thomas, Bradley Beal,
God. Jesus.
I thought he was going to say something stupid like, no, Ingram and Zion.
But Ingram and Zion, if Ingram continues.
Yeah, we got to see him on the court together.
We got to see Zion.
That is true.
In 10 years, do you think Ja Morant,
Triple J?
You know.
Your boy Triple J had to come back.
Listen, I worry about Triple J sometimes. I worry about watching games and I'm like.
I expected more from him this season.
I worry about him a lot. I got to call him.
The motor. The motor.
I'm not worried about Ja, but Triple J will.
It's also that offense they run. I'm like, why are you standing in
the
corner?
And people talk about Zion injury prone. Ja too, man. Like the way he goes in, he goes 100% hard all the time. I was
worried about Triple J coming out of the draft.
The motor?
No, like I just saw him in high school, and I was like,
I was worried about his motor.
The motor's actually fine.
No, but in college, he didn't dominate.
He didn't.
As a freshman.
Me, it's not
the motor's okay. I don't like this offense for him. I
also think that he should be a better rebounder than he is.
Well, because he has it at the 3-point line. You can't get any rebounds when you're at the 3-point line.
Well, same thing with Porzingis, right?
Get down in the paint.
And on top of that, just the foul trouble. He needs to grow out of the foul trouble. That's the thing.
He is so foul prone.
Yeah, he needs to grow up. Period. Seriously.
By the way, you know he's younger than Morant. Even though Morant's...
Is he?
He's the
young... Well, oh, yeah, Morant did 2 years. Yeah. I forgot
that. Morant looks more polished for the NBA game.
Oh, we didn't...
Now.
We didn't.
And I like Triple
D. We didn't mention Lillard and CJ.
You know my thing with small guys.
The thing is, I like the both.
I mean, granted, they're both in their primes right now.
I just don't think that duo works to win you a championship.
No.
Oh, no.
But I like the both of them.
Yeah, and also Curry, Clay still.
Because what I love about Wiggins and Towns, especially, is their size. A 7-footer and a 6'7" guy. Like,
no, but shout out to Wiggins because he's one of those guys who people pretty much gave up on.
Yeah, they're like,
he's
done.
And took pride in giving up.
Yeah.
Right?
Because people...
And we're like... And to me, it's a lot, you know... It, to me, it has a lot to do with the numbers and the analytics, culture, I agree. Because they look at, you know, they broke it down to the point, oh, you know, it's plus, minus, blah, blah, blah. But also it takes away from the human part of the game where people get better. You know what I'm saying? If you're 23, 24, you don't know. You're acting like you know who he is and who he's going to be forever. You don't know. You don't know how hard he's going to work over the offseason.
Good point.
You don't know what coach can motivate him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I think Wiggins is a good deal because people, you know, like I said, people actually were out there. A lot of media people out there taking pride in shooting him down. Listen, he's a bust.
They were doing
forever.
It with D'Angelo Russell
he's
too.
Not even 25.
He is the analytics media. And again, I hate broad brush because we like analytics here, but right, like, no, we don't use it as our like number one thing.
But what's funny about Wiggins' improvement, if you have been watching the games, is what the dude has actually done is he's cut down on his long.
He is now the analytics darling. Yeah. He shoots threes and goes to the rim.
Right, so he's been going to the rim better, finishing at the highest rate he's ever had in his career. He's taking more efficient in terms of analytic shots. And so he did the things that. So now, how much of that do we want to put on Ryan Saunders? Maybe him and Ryan Saunders.
Credit. Listen.
Yeah, maybe Ryan Saunders got to him. So to your point, you can't know what these kids are. Everybody looks at people's improvement is going like this.
Linear.
Sometimes
it's not linear, man.
And I try to look at basketball. Like if you can play basketball, even with Carmelo, people saying, oh, you know, you can't play in today's game, blah, blah, blah. I'm not buying that because I know I've watched him since Syracuse. He had a complete game at Syracuse. Yes, depending on whatever team he went to, George, he became a pure scorer, but I know he knows how to play the game. So it's really up to him and whether he can adapt. And you can't tell me that he can't adapt.
The knock against him
18-7-4, second game back.
He doesn't since the Thunder.
He shoots threes.
He shot more threes.
He shoots threes.
He cut down his mid-range. Yeah. But nobody gives him credit for that, which is a complete distruth in
it's analytics, man. And again, there are certain people.
Watch the games, people.
Right. And then use the analytics to help you.
Yeah, but that goes to where this podcast all started, minus the whole 100 thing that went on. Just watch the games and not highlights.
Yes.
People are just watching highlights. Yes. If you watch the games, you'll just be smarter. Like Bomani Jones told us when we went up to High Noon and talked to him. The most important thing is just knowing what you're talking about. And a lot of people are talking, not knowing what they're talking about.
You can't just look at numbers and know the whole story.
100%. I had a conversation with Stack that's coming out soon. And Steven Jackson was like, analytics, they never took a charge ever. Analytics don't – listen, use that to help –
That's true.
Literally, he's like, Ellie's don't want to take a chart. That can't measure a heart. He's like, you're going to tell me about what some chart says about, and I'm like, Stack, I want you. Like, I hear what you're saying.
Analytics don't never took a charge.
It is a piece.
That's a shirt.
Full on.
Yes. That is a shirt.
Yes.
Make that shirt.
Shout out to Stack Jack.
That's the steak sauce, not the steak.
Stack's that dude, man. Like
I like their podcast.
I had a good time talking to Matt and Stack, and they are – those are some real
The Knuckleheads is cool.
Between them two podcasts, like,
yeah.
You ever sit around with the four of them? But beyond the fact that you'll get contact high if you don't partake, it's woo.
Yeah, I enjoy what they're doing right now, man. It's good. All right, we got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Episode 100, the Friendsgiving episode.
Shout out to Dexter Henry and Brian Fonseca for their 100th episode,
100.
Man.
100. Subscribe, baby.
100.
Subscribe. Please subscribe, follow, continue to support. We could not have done it without the support of a lot of people. We have to thank our people here at Gotham Podcast Studios, all the great engineers, making up words, that we work with here, the people who started with us in doing this podcast when we were back doing it at college we worked at, Matt Finiza, Louis Velez, my man Matty P. Shout out to all them, all our friends and guests who've come up, including Jamal Murphy and Gerard Hector. We thank all of y'all. Want to wish everybody out there a safe, healthy, and happy Thanksgiving, and much greatness to the indigenous people who allowed us to be on this land, for the people who like to claim that that wasn't theirs.
Shout out to the indigenous people.
No, we got to.
For real.
We forget the story sometimes. I want to make sure we don't do that. All of y'all here, have a great Thanksgiving.
Same to you, man.
Yes, you too.
Don't eat too much and come back, you know, out of game shape. You know, got to be back in podcast shape.
You can count on that.
Got to be ready. That's it for episode 100. We are in the triple digits of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Until next time, y'all. Peace.